Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were talking about living by faith, how important it is to live by faith. And I want to share something from Blessed John Newman that I think would be of help to you. He writes, "What is meant by faith? It is to feel in good earnest that we are creatures of God, that I am a son or a daughter of God." Just what I said yesterday. It is a practical perception of the unseen world. You know there is a world waiting for you, an eternal world, an eternal life waiting for you. That is not a fairy tale. That is truth. It is a practical perception of the unseen world. It is to understand that this world is not enough for our happiness, to look beyond it towards God, to realize His presence, to wait upon Him, to endeavor to learn and to do His will, and to seek our good from Him. That's faith put into practice. It is not a mere temporary strong act of impetuous feeling. Oh, yes, I believe. And then tomorrow we don't know what we believe. It is not a mere temporary strong act or impetuous feeling, an impression or a view coming upon it. It is a habit. Faith is a habit, a state of mind, lasting and consistent. I was created to live forever. I am a son or a daughter of God the Father, Jesus Christ, my Savior and my brother. It's a habit, a state of mind, lasting and consistent. To have faith in God is to surrender oneself to God. Humbly to put one's interests or to wish to be allowed to put them into His hands, who is the sovereign giver of all good. You know, if you really make a morning offering every day, that's one way of establishing that perspective, that orientation. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. That's orienting your life so that I've said now I want everything in my life today, all the practical nitty-gritty, I want everything to be offered to God. You begin to live out of that. It's like putting on a whole new pair of glasses, or maybe having your glasses removed and seeing things clearly for the first time. Faith is to surrender oneself to God, humbly to put one's interests or to wish to be allowed to put them into His hands, who is the sovereign giver of all good. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Agatha. And Saint Agatha, my goodness, she was martyred in Sicily around the persecution of Decius in 251. And while the details of her life are lost to history, the impact of her sacrifice is attested to by the ancient authors. Ancient authors. She won a good name by her noble deeds, and by her name she points to the nobility of those deeds. Agatha, her name wins all people over to her company. She teaches them by her example to hasten with her to the true good, God alone. Do you do that? Agatha teaches them by her example to hasten with her to the true good, God alone. Do you ask others to hasten with you toward the true good? That's living your faith. That's the core of the new evangelization, right there. Right there. She teaches them by her example to hasten with her to the true good. May that be you. May that be your daily life plan. May that be your map. Today we look again at the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 and 19, and then 21 to 24. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. It's terrifying. Indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses said, I'm terrified and trembling. But the writer to the letter to the Hebrews says, no, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. We're not living in that time where God revealed himself with blazing fire and trumpet blasts and terrifying spectacles. No, we have approached the living God who comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ and who shows us the way by living our life, by living in our flesh, by knowing every temptation, every desire, every fear, every source of anger and jealousy and envy that can rack us. He knows it all. He knows it all. And he's the mediator of a new covenant by his blood that you may live forever. Oh God, we ponder your mercy. Ponder the mercy of God today that's so great, that would do so much for you. Ponder that mercy. Thank him for it. Live in it. Oh God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. Great is the Lord and holy to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, fairest of heights, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, the recesses of the north, the city of the great King. God is with her castles, renowned as he is as a stronghold. So we had heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God makes it firm forever. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. As your name, O God, so also your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Of justice, your right hand is full. Justice and mercy, they are the marks of our God. Justice and mercy. Draw near to him. Please, please don't walk any longer simply as a creature of this world. You're given to this world for a time only to help others come to the true home, Jesus, eternity, heaven. It's real, brothers and sisters. It's real. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there. Shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So they went off and preached repentance. And the 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Why were they able to do those miraculous deeds? Because they obeyed Jesus. They lived as he asked them to live. They repented when they failed. They wanted to serve him. And he told them not to depend on external things, but to depend on him. And so they went off and preached repentance. And they drove out many demons. They anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Can you imagine what their reaction must have been the first time it happened? But see, they were given to the Lord. They were human. You see all the mistakes they made. But they were totally given to the Lord. They weren't straddling. They had given themselves wholly to him. And that's why he was able to use them. We hedge our bets so often. Yes, I want to follow the Lord. I want to be his disciple. He is my Savior. Yes, but surely I can do this, or I can participate in that, or I can associate with these people. No. You've got to make choices. You've got to be wholehearted with God. Then he will bless and lead you. I was reading a little portion of an essay by a woman whose name is Madeleine de Brill. She was a French laywoman, a writer, and she was a mystic, devoted to caring for the poor. And she's speaking here about evangelism, but it comes out of exactly what I've just been talking about, a wholehearted giving of yourself to the Lord. Then God can work through you. And sometimes those are miraculous things that he does through you. But it's the total givenness to the Lord. And you will fail, but when you fail, you immediately repent. You don't excuse. You begin to live a life like that, and God can use you. Madeleine says, even in the midst of a world populated with good people, the goodness of a heart converted to Christ does not resemble other forms of goodness. The goodness proper to Christ does not allow a place for our creative contributions until we have fulfilled his laws. It demands that we love no matter whom all the way to the end, and no matter when it may be. It accepts no good excuse for not being good. And this, no matter who, must be for us the Peter or Paul, that he is for the James or the John, that we are, because this no matter who has to have for us the unique and irreplaceable value that he has for God. When love meets an unbeliever, it becomes evangelization. But this evangelization cannot be other than fraternal. We do not come in our generosity offering to share something that belongs to us, namely God. We do not come as righteous among sinners, as people who hold diplomas among the uneducated. We come to speak about our common Father, whom some people know and others don't, as people who have been forgiven, not as innocents. As people who had the fortune of being called to believe, to receive the faith, not as if it were a good that is owed to us, but as something that has been deposited in us for the sake of the world. Do you see what she's saying? She's saying is, we're just like everybody else. We all sin, we all fail, we all make mistakes. But when you choose to live by faith, when you choose to put your life in the hands of God and have everything, your decisions, etc., your relationships, your recreation, your job, everything oriented to, I want to please my God in everything I think and say and do. When that's your orientation, then you out of that reach out to others. Doesn't mean that you've got a certificate of holiness, but you're on the right path. Therefore, God can work through you. Therefore, you can reach out to another and say, I want to walk with you and help you. I know what you're going through. We're both weak. We're both sinful. But God loves us, and I want to show you the God who loves you and will set you free. That's the heart of the new evangelization. Let it be so in you and through you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.